Whether or not you're acquainted with livestock, whether or not you've ever stepped foot into a pasture, whatever preconceived notion you carry about sheep is about to change. Today's message could transform your impression of those woolly, four-legged animals. Welcome to Insight for Living, featuring another message in Chuck Swindoll's four-part series called Living Portraits of the Church. When describing leaders and their followers, the Bible often refers to shepherds and their sheep. Well, over the next few days, we'll discover some enlightening characteristics of both and how this impacts our relationships at church. Chuck titled today's message, Feeding the Flock a Healthy Meal.
Among the many portraits of the church painted in the scriptures, none is more calming and comforting than a flock of sheep under the watchful eye of a caring shepherd. And when we add the presence of a pasture full of lush green grass, well, the picture is even more appealing. But this is almost too idealistic. The truth is, not all sheep stay in the flock, and not all shepherds are caring and faithful. Furthermore, not all that's lush and green is edible grass, and not all peaceful places are free of danger. Let's trace this analogy through several scriptural scenes. Hopefully, the time we spend in God's Word will leave us with a realistic awareness of what it means to be among our shepherd's flock and how it feels to be fed from His hand. The Apostle John, whom Jesus loved so much, records Jesus' own words as he described the relationship of the shepherd with his sheep. It's found in John chapter 10, verses 1 through 10. Listen as I read this gentle description from the Lord Himself. John 10, beginning at verse 1. I tell you the truth. Anyone who sneaks over the wall of a sheepfold rather than going through the gate, must surely be a thief and a robber. But the one who enters through the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep recognize his voice and come to him. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. After he has gathered his own flock, he walks ahead of them, and they follow him, because they know his voice. They won't follow a stranger. They will run from him because they don't know his voice. Those who heard Jesus use this illustration didn't understand what he meant. So he explained it to them. I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me were thieves and robbers, but the true sheep did not listen to them. Yes, I am the gate. Those who come in through me will be saved. They will come and go freely and will find good pastures. The thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. I'm going to be closing this message in a very soul-searching way, by using Psalm 23, probably one of the Christian's favorite psalms, as David describes this relationship as a shepherd while he was growing up. Listen as I read it from the New Living Translation. Psalm 23, a psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to His name. Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for You are close beside me. Your rod and Your staff protect and comfort me. You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. You honor me by anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessings. Surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever.
You're listening to Insight for Living. To download the outline notes for today's sermon, go to insightworld.org. And now Chuck Swindoll on Feeding the Flock, a Healthy Meal.
I used to think when the Lord called us sheep in His pasture that He was paying us a compliment. But now that I have made a study of sheep, I'm not so sure of that. Several years ago, my family and I were up at Mount Hermon Christian Conference Center up near Santa Cruz, California. And while we were there, we took a walk one afternoon that led us into a back section of the camp, which to my surprise led to a small flock of sheep. And because I am so seldom near sheep, and perhaps you have never been near sheep, I was especially interested in getting as close as I could to get as good a look as possible at a sheep. And in my life, it was for the very first time. Unfortunately, I was looking at the south end of a northbound sheep, and when I got close enough to see what I was really looking at, it was a terrible mess. I had thought all my life that their fleece was really white as snow, but it wasn't true. In fact, just to set the record straight, it is no great thing to brag about to other people when you tell them that we are the sheep of the Lord's pasture. That says a whole lot more about the grace of the shepherd than it does about the glory of the sheep. On our staff is Gary Richmond, who trained for the ministry at the Los Angeles Zoo. We often tease with him about that. He was there for a number of years and got great training. And now I understand why Gary has told us that zookeepers considered it punishment to care for the sheep when there were lions and tigers and bears and rhinos and gorillas to take care of. And so it occurred to me before we launch into the second of four living portraits of the church that we take a little while to get better acquainted with sheep, and perhaps even a few minutes to get better acquainted with shepherds, about whom we may know even less than we do about sheep. So let me give you three or four things that I have discovered by observation, by talking with people who are authorities, and by my own study of sheep, things that you may not have thought of before. Three of them are negative, and happily one is positive. First of all, when it comes to sheep, we ought to always remember that they lack any sense of direction. They have no sense of an inner compass. Unlike other animals in the wild, when you drop them off, they can make it on their own. Sheep can't even find food and often cannot find water on their own. I suppose this is a rather cautious way of saying they're not very smart. They have a very poor sense of smell. Their hearing isn't that great. They have an inability to track where they ought to be. And since they run in a mob, when one gets astray, a lot of them want to follow. I mean, when was the last time you saw a flock of sheep that had been trained to perform in a circus? You will never find that. When is the last time you saw a policeman traveling with a sheep in the back seat of his car? When was the last time you saw a sign on a chain link fence that said, "Danger, attack sheep," inside? Which brings me to the second negative about sheep. They are virtually defenseless. Other animals have sharp claws like a bear, or a loud roar like a lion to frighten the prey away, or an attacker away. Some are able to run real fast or climb high into a tree. Some can even change colors. Others are able to go underwater and stay underwater until you forget about them or you don't know where they've gone under this murky water. Sheep can't even swim. They get into water, they drown because their wool coats with that water and soaks it up and they go under. They got little tiny hoofs and they got little spindly legs. You ever listen to their growl? It's bad. I mean, every time I hear a sheep bleat, I think all the other animals must look at them and tilt their head and think, "Get serious, get serious." They don't even go, "Bah, bah," black sheep. They just go, "Bah." That's all they have. It's almost like a cry of a child. And when they're really scared, they just do it real fast. And it gets to be a higher pitch. They are not ferocious. By the way, never forget that this timidity that they have within them makes them extremely vulnerable to predators like wolves. The third thing I discovered about sheep is that they are by nature terribly unclean. They're not a clean animal. Their skin is full of an oil that secretes, especially in the wintertime, and coats their wool, gives them a wonderful protection from the harsh winds that blow. But this oil, remember the name of the oil? Lanolin. This lanolin that coats their wool, it is an incredible dust collector. Wherever this oily wool, whatever it touches, especially when they lie down, they pick it up and carry it with them, whether it's dirt or burrs or dung or dust or urine or blood, whatever they lay down on, they pick up and carry with them. Gary Richmond's the one who's described sheep as walking Velcro. But in all of these negatives about sheep, there is one thing positive we can say for them. And it is set forth right here in the 10th chapter of John. If you have a Bible, if you brought one with you, locate the fourth book of the New Testament, chapter 10 of John's Gospel, and you'll find the fourth thing we can say about sheep, which is set forth from our Lord's words. They know the voice of their shepherd. That's a great thought. Look, for example, at verse 4. When he puts forth all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. Isn't that a great thing? Their brain may be little, they may not be that sharp, but they know when it's their shepherd who is calling them. That's a wonderful thought. Now, while speaking about sheep and mentioning shepherds, it might be good to say a couple of three things about shepherds. Let me say a couple of positive and then one negative. First of all, they are essential for the sheep's survival. If a sheep cannot protect itself, if a sheep cannot find food or water for itself, if a sheep lacks the ability to defend itself, certainly the shepherd is essential to take care of the sheep. In fact, right here in this passage of Scripture, you'll see the second of the three comments I want to make about shepherds. Second, they know which sheep belong to them. Verse 3, to him the doorkeeper opens and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. Isn't that a great thought? Isn't that a great thought? Shepherds have little pet names for their sheep. We'd call it nicknames. They could be Scruffy or Buddy or Snotnose or Wooly, whatever. They've got these names that they, and when the sheep hears his name, he comes running. He knows exactly that the shepherd is his and the shepherd is calling him by name. It's a wonderful thought. Now the negative is this. Not all shepherds are faithful and trustworthy. Jesus speaks of them using a word, verse 12, that we don't hear much about these days, except in another term. He says, he who is a hireling, John 10, verse 12, he who is a hireling and not a shepherd, who is not the owner of the sheep, beholds the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. Now, you can't tell by looking that it's a hireling, but a sheep knows right away, because when trouble comes and this man splits, they know he's not really a faithful shepherd. Look at the word hireling. Misthatos is a very unusual Greek word. It comes from the verb that means to hire or to pay a wage. In noun form, it simply means hired servant or slave. We call him a hired hand, somebody who's in it for the money. Jesus says, when you come across a shepherd who is in it for what he's going to get out of it, you've come across a bad thing. There's no heart for the sheep. There's no commitment to the sheep. There's no love for the sheep. It's strictly a mercenary mentality. This business of sacrifice and commitment and compassion That's nonsense to the hireling. And so it is to all who are unfaithful shepherds. It occurred to me while I was preparing this talk that it is interesting in the scriptures when the Lord refers to pastors and congregations, the terms he does not use. Never does he use boss and employees. Never does he use captain and crew, coach and team, king and subjects. Never. He most often uses shepherd and sheep. I love that. First of all, it keeps the sheep from idolizing the shepherd because he's one of them. And second, it keeps the shepherd from dominating the sheep because he is also a sheep. Let me show you a classic example of this. Verse 16, same chapter. I have other sheep which are not of this fold. I must bring them also. And they shall hear my voice, and they shall become one poimen with one poimen. I've used the Greek words, so you'll see they are the same terms, just different accent. You know what it says to me? We're equal. We're on the same footing. Nobody has a right to pull rank or to bully themselves around or to bully you around or to play king of the hill or to manipulate or to dominate. Because the one who is a shepherd is a poimen just like the sheep are poimen. He's a part of the flock. That's why you will never hear me refer to you, my congregation, as my flock. You're not mine. You're not my people. You are God's people. You are the sheep of His pasture. Watch out for pastors who call you my people, my sheep. The true shepherd, the faithful shepherd, the kind of shepherd God calls into the work is one who has his arms open. He doesn't get sheep to capture them and to hold them. He has the responsibility of working with God's flock, for he too is a member of the flock. He too is a sheep under the same great shepherd of the sheep, Hebrews 13, 20 and 21. And so with that in mind, let's gather some counsel first for the sheep, and then let's hear some warnings to the shepherd. First, the counsel that I find from the good shepherd right here in John 10 comes in 1, 2, 3 pieces of advice. Jesus is engaged in a teaching session. Theologians call it a discourse. It's a lengthy, uninterrupted teaching session. In John 10, the session is on the shepherd and the sheep. In another place, it's on the vine and the branch. In another place, it's on his return to this earth. But here, the discourse is on the shepherd and the sheep. So if you've got a red letter edition of the Bible, this whole section is in red. Jesus is speaking. He's talking to his friends, and some of them who are not his friends, about the shepherd and the sheep. Listen to his counsel. And I would give it to you 1, 2, 3 in a row. First, be sure you're listening to the voice of the right shepherd. Be sure you're listening to the voice of the right shepherd. Verse 3 again, to him the doorkeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name. And isn't this great? He leads them out. He doesn't lead them into another pen. He doesn't lead them into his own secret quarters. Well, he leads them out. He lets them go. His hope for them is that they find good pasture and that they eat where they choose, and they drink along whatever stream or riverbank they may wish. In fact, he'll even bring in stones and boulders and quiet the waters so they won't be afraid when the rippling waters rush by. But the main thing is that they drink and eat as they please. He doesn't force their head down. He doesn't beat the sheep with a whip. Shepherds don't carry whips. He leads them. Be sure you are listening to the voice of the right shepherd. If your shepherd isn't leading you out, he's not the right shepherd. If your shepherd isn't providing good pasture in which you're able to feed, there's something wrong with the shepherd. There's nothing wrong with you. There's something wrong with the food that's being provided. Look at verse 10. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy, but I have come that they might have life and have it in a restricted sense. No, that isn't what it says. I've come that they might have life, have it abundantly. The shepherd says, when I come to give life, I free you to enjoy life. I don't manipulate you with guilt. I don't hold over you some sword of warning or legalism that says you must always do this. No. He opens the word, which is the pasture land of God's flock, and he says, here, feed, learn, grow, eat, drink. Enjoy my truth. Be sure you're listening to the voice of the right shepherd. Second, verses 4 and 5. Never hesitate to follow where he leads. When he puts forth all his own, he goes before them. I love that. And the sheep follow him because they know his voice. A stranger they simply will not follow, but will flee from him because they do not know the voice of the strangers. Please observe where the shepherd is. Is he behind harassing? Is he sitting apart from them, shouting orders out the window? No, he's going before them. For too many years in my ministry, I drove sheep. But you drive cattle, you lead sheep. For too many years, I harassed congregation. It didn't work. I was frustrated. They were frustrated. For too many years, I didn't see myself as a shepherd leading, but as an authority driving. I learned a harsh lesson through that. Please observe that the shepherd is out front and the sheep follow. They follow. As all of you know, I've made a very, very difficult decision in the last few days of my life. The reason it was difficult is because I focused on the corners that were dark and regions in this will of God that I couldn't put together, and I realized my own inadequacy, my own inability to handle certain parts of the calling that was His will for me. I forgot that the shepherd was out front. For a period of time, as I was thinking through it, I was seized by fear. I was worried over my own ignorance and my own inexperience. And it dawned on me, verse 4, that he goes before me and I shouldn't hesitate to follow. The reason I use myself as an illustration, because it's the one I know best right now. Maybe you're there in your life. Anytime God leads us into His will, there are parts of it you do not know and you can't piece together. There wouldn't be faith if you could see it all in front of you. And there are some frightening things out there. There are some uncertainties, to be sure. Just remember, always follow where He leads, and you'll never go wrong. Third, use discernment when choosing your door. See how he puts it in verse 7. Jesus said to them, "Truly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture."
Feeding the Flock, a Healthy Meal. That's the title Chuck Swindoll chose for his message, and this is Insight for Living. You'll find Chuck's sermon in its entirety included in the four-part series called Living Portraits of the Church. All four messages are easily accessed at insightworld.org. Or if you're listening in the United States, give us a phone call at 1-800-772-8888. By the way, if you serve as the shepherd of the flock today, we not only affirm your high calling, we'd also like to support you. Insight for Living provides a steady stream of encouragement from Chuck Swindoll on a blog site devoted to you. Be sure to bookmark this page, written to pastors, and found online at insight.org/pastors. Well, throughout the month of June, you heard us talk about the financial year-end deadline on June 30th. That was last Monday. If you were well-intentioned about making a special contribution but overlooked the occasion, it's not too late to make an impact. This month, we're celebrating God's faithfulness over 35 years, having launched this ministry in faith in 1979. God's hand remains on Insight for Living as we continue to enjoy an impact around the world, due in part to the generosity of friends like you. And today we're saying thank you for your donation by providing a prayer journal called Passionate Prayer. It's spiral bound, making it convenient to lay flat as you write down your personal prayers and observations. And the journal contains inspirational thoughts from Chuck Swindoll as well, as he introduces you to 12 heroes of the faith. So when you give a donation of any amount, be sure to request Passionate Prayer from the Bible Teaching Ministry of Chuck Swindoll. Go online and make a donation today at insight.org. Or if you're listening in the United States, call 1-800-772-8888. And online, go to insight.org. More teaching from Chuck Swindoll tomorrow on Feeding the Flock a Healthy Meal, right here on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, Feeding the Flock a Healthy Meal, was copyrighted in 1993, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2014 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide.